You may be seated. Well, I came in this week fully expecting to preach on the Gospels, just because it's been a while, and we're going through Luke, and it's been an insightful journey through those parables and sayings of Jesus. But I decided today that I instead wanted to go through the beginning of 2 Timothy, maybe not through the whole book, but specifically to talk about it this morning, because I think that what it talks about is something that we really care about here. And that thing is the passing down, the handing down of faith through the generations. It's something that in a church like ours, which is still young, and we imagine as still being young, has four generations of people that have been in it, but it is true. There are four generations that have gone through this church, and it is that handing down is something that also, over the course of things, got interrupted a bit. But from the moment that I arrived here, it is the thing that everyone has spoken to me about, which is teaching children about Jesus, which is sharing the faith and the life that God has given to us with those that we love the most. And it is, in fact, this kind of generational faith that creates real stability, a real home for people to worship in, a real church home to know where they came from. And this kind of handing down from one generation to another is, in fact, the essence of tradition. So for those that may have grown up in less liturgical denominations or in worship, tradition isn't fundamentally about just being more pious or doing more things for God. Tradition really is, I mean, literally, it means just the handing over. It is the handing over of the life that we live through the generations. Not much different than the family traditions that you have. And what kind of family traditions do we have but the ones that happen on Christmas and Easter and other things, where even if you wanted to, your kids, you can't get it out of yourself from your own grandparents, and your kids won't be able to get it out of themselves from you. It's just the way, as they say, that we grew up. But that growing up, those traditions are not neutral. There is no traditionless space. Even if you grew up in a low church environment, that very much is part of a tradition that dates back to the Reformation, that was interested in trying to push against the difficulties of high church life and liturgies, but still is something that we inherit. And this kind of traditional passing down is what Paul is doing here to Timothy. That the handing down of faith has been part of a life with God since the time of Abraham. God didn't come and reveal himself fundamentally in mighty works, though he did do that. But fundamentally, he did so in his promise to a family. A family where the most important thing that was going to happen was how the blessing of God, how that promise was going to get handed down through the generations. That's why the story of Jacob and Esau and of Isaac and all of those things are such a big deal. How is the life and promises of God going to get handed down through the generations? And when in the life of the church, that life and that faith and those promises of the new covenant in Jesus get opened up to those that are not just Jewish, but to the world, the fundamental way that that is described is as adoption. That you are adopted into the life and to the faith of God, so that that faith and that life can be handed down to you and to those that you love. Part of the resurrection of Jesus, and it's good news, is that he has always and will always guard the faith as it gets handed down because he is still alive. And so this is why it's important and special, I think, that Paul calls Timothy a child, his beloved child. He's not just saying that he likes him a whole lot. He's speaking to the intimacy of the relationship that they have and the way that that relationship has worked. We might put it now is that Paul is a mentor to Timothy. What he has done is he took Timothy on his journeys in Acts and said, you're going to come with me. And what's interesting about Timothy, and Paul says this, is he mentions his mother and his grandmother. That you have learned this faith from your mother and your grandmother, because who among us hasn't done that? That these are the people that taught you this, but you're going to come with me. And because Timothy's father was Greek, not Jewish, Timothy had not been circumcised. So he lived in this sort of limbo, so to speak, of the traditional sort of Abrahamic way that was more indicative of the way that the church worked. And so Paul takes Timothy under his wing and makes him his child in the faith and hands down everything that he knows. And that's what 1 and 2 Timothy are really about. They're about Paul, mostly at the end of his life, from prison, having traveled with Timothy and discipled him and taught him ministry, giving his last words. Here are the things that I want you to know. Here are the things that I'm handing down to you to be a minister and a Christian of the gospel. There's actually a way that we do that here in the church. It's called godparents. It would be right, I think, to say that Paul is a godparent to Timothy, just as Timothy is a spiritual child of Paul. And Sam Wells, in his book on godparenting that we give to everybody that has their children baptized here now, says this about godparents. He says, a godparent is a companion. A growing child has very few adults in her life to whom she is not connected by familial ties or contractual expectations. A godparent fills the gap between the two. He or she has the potential intimacy of the former and the option of less frequent contact should the relationship not prove life-giving. In an ideal scenario, the godparent carries out a genuinely priestly role, representing God to the growing child in constancy, listening, understanding, and love, and representing the growing child to God in intercession, thanksgiving, and sometimes lament. Now, speaking personally for myself, this didn't happen actually with my actual godparents, but it did happen in my life. When I was in high school, through various parachurch ministries, became a mentor to just another person in our neighborhood that was a leader, a Christian, and was willing to just have me over to his house all the time, have all of us over to his house. And it was a big deal because my grandmothers were both devout Christians. But my parents were sort of on their own journey. And so faith was something that I knew about, like many of us or many people these days. It's not like I didn't know. I knew the Lord's Prayer, for example. I had been to church a number of times. I could tell you some of the stories. But I didn't know how to do it. Like nothing had been handed down to me in any kind of explicit way. Everything had just sort of been around the edges. But there was this man who was about the same age that I am now, probably, with three kids that was living in a Christian home and trying to be faithful. And he taught me everything that he was learning. He was listening to, now it would be podcasts, but back then it was like the old tapes of sermons, right? And then he would tell me what he was learning. If he was reading a book, he would throw it to me and share it with me. more than that, when he got fired from a job, or when he and his wife were in a fight, or when they were their kid was sick and they were struggling with what to do, I got to be there. And I got to see that and be a part of that. And there were a lot of people in those days. I mean, he did this for 25 years. So there were a lot of us that went through that home. But for the few of us that were there the most, and that really did sort of imbibe and receive all that he had taught us, he looped us in together into a group that he called the Timothys. Because we were the group of men, young men, that he had taught how to do ministry and how to be a Christian. And this is exactly the kind of thing that Paul is doing to Timothy, and exactly the kind of thing that all of us have been called to do for every child that has been baptized in this church and elsewhere. And so what does Paul say then to Timothy, his godson, at the beginning of this letter? Well, he does exactly what Father Sam would say at the beginning, is he prays for him. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. And there's not a whole lot to be said for that other than to say that your prayers for those that you love are not in vain. It really, really matters. One of the most famous Christian books ever written is Augustine's Confessions. It might be, it's one of the most influential works of theology, full stop. And at the end of chapter 8, he associates the whole thing with his mom praying for him. He says, none of this would have happened if she wasn't praying tears over me night and day for 30 years. But because she has, God has not let her tears be in vain. So continue to pray. Your prayers matter. Paul does it. It's what we are called to do. If it's not a part of parenting, I don't know what is. Because you just can't wrap your hands all the way around it, right? You can't control it. But then Paul does exactly the kind of thing that we've been talking about here, is he reminds Timothy of where he comes from. That the story of the gospel, the story of Jesus, isn't just his story. It isn't just the story that he chose for himself. It is the story of his mother. It is the story of his grandmother. It is, in fact, a story that goes back before the foundations of the world, Paul says, that Jesus had desired and longed to do this. That Paul's conversion was a calling into that story to live it out, to receive the life of Jesus, even though he didn't choose it for himself. He was knocked down. And so the same is true with Timothy. That even though he didn't choose it for himself necessarily, that this is precisely what it means that life and faith are gifts of grace. They're handed down to us by God and by the faithful. And this is true also for those that we baptize and for those who are confirmed. The little babies that get baptized there don't get to choose for themselves that they will follow Christ, as the liturgy says, promise to follow and obey Jesus Christ as their Lord. But it is in that moment who they are and who they will become, a child of God. A child of God by the faithfulness of Jesus, and a child of God in part by our faithfulness to Jesus and raising them up together. The last thing that Paul does is that he assures Timothy and encourages him that this calling and this family and this tradition and this life is, in fact, a real gift. That it is the purpose and grace of Christ before the ages began. And so it is the power, he says, it is the fire that lights inside of him, to love and to not fear, to be faithful and to have self-control, to follow the patterns of the words of Christ, and to live. There are so many people, one of the most common sort of counseling conversations I have with people is they're wondering, you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is my purpose? What is my calling? What has God called me into? And the way that it is spoken of is as if God is keeping secrets from them. And part of the reason for that, I think, is because it's really hard to hand down the faith. It's really hard to teach children and godchildren and stepchildren and adopted children and neighbors and high school kids that just show up into your kitchen and don't ever leave, to teach them Christianity. So when we don't, it can feel like a secret. We don't know what to do. But I trust that many of you know that it isn't a huge secret, right, about the things that God has given us, God has told us to do. The real difficult thing is to actually do it, to be faithful, to know that if I can go out on a limb and try it, if I can try to love and to have self-control and to follow the pattern of Jesus, that someone's going to take care of me, that someone's going to love me too, and that I'm going to be able to go on that journey. That this is the handing down of tradition and community, of being a child of God and part of the family of God. It isn't just about believing certain things and then going on your way. It's about growing up into Christ together as one family by God's means of grace. One, maybe the most famous example of this happened a really long time ago in Cappadocia, which is now in Turkey. And in the year 270, so a really long time ago, there was a woman born whose name was Macrina. And in 270, or during the beginning of Macrina's life, Christianity was still being persecuted quite a bit. And so she probably fled to the countryside and to the shores of the Black Sea and waited out those persecutions. But during her lifetime, those persecutions stopped, and she was able to freely hand down the faith. And her son, Basil, would marry another devout Christian woman named Amelia, whose father had been martyred during those persecutions. And they would move to Caesarea and would become the center of life there. Basil, the elder, as we call him now, would become a teacher of rhetoric and, more important, a lay teacher of the faith that was celebrated in Caesarea. And we know, and he and Amelia, his wife, went on to have 10 children. We know the names of 5 of them: Macrina the Younger, Basil the Great, Gregory of Nyssa, Naucratius, and Peter. And we know those 5 names because all of them became saints in the church. All told, 8 of them in 3 generations became saints. And I've got Macrina and Basil and Gregory of Nyssa on my bookshelf right now. This is the picture of what life being a gift, of the traditions of God being handed down, of a generational faith is meant to look like. And for those of us that desire this, that see what the Cappadocians have done as this just amazing thing, that we have, in fact, been called and are encouraged by God through the letters of Paul to go do it. Because there are so many people that are our age, that are younger than us, that are our grandchildren's age, that are our neighbors, that feel like God is a secret to them. They are homeless. Not because they don't have a place to live or they don't have a place to go to church, whatever else, but because they just don't have people to show them, to teach them, to walk with them, to be their godparents. And the way that we can do that is to pray and to remember where we came from. And in many instances, maybe learn where we came from. If we don't know the story of Jesus or of the scriptures or of Augustine's confessions or of the Cappadocians, and we can know our family history and our own traditions and how it is that we're supposed to live so that we can hand it down. And finally, we can receive our own traditions of word and sacrament, of faith and life, of catechism, as what they are, as a gift. Yes, they take some effort. It takes effort to go to church. It takes effort to go to Bible study and to go to Sunday school and to bring your friends and do all that stuff. But that is the gift of the life that we've been given, the inheritance that God has passed down to us. And if we do it, if we are faithful, if we are willing to just try, the crazy thing is that we will actually become who we are. We will become who we long to be and stop being tossed by the winds and the waves of all the other worldly things. But we will be children of God, loving children of God, and sharing the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ with those that we love the most. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.